And welcome back, everybody, to another episode of Benched with Bubba, episode 703. Going to talk some 2025 AL prospects for your draft champions. On the previous episode, we had Chris Clegg come on talking National League prospects. So who better to talk American League prospects than his partner in crime, who is a part of the Toolshed podcast, the Toolshed Patreon. You also find a lot of his great work at rotoballer.com, over at FTN Fantasy, and the dude's just everywhere. He's a great person in general. Obviously got to know him through time, but also a great fantasy analyst and prospect guru. You can find him on Twitter at EricCrossMLB. Eric, how are we doing, my friend?
Doing well, Bubba. How are you doing?
Doing well. It's a beautiful post-Thanksgiving and trying to relax and take a breather before we really start cranking things up again. Have you done any drafts yet?
I have not. I tell myself every year I try to wait till December. Smart. And every year up until this year, I had failed at that. Usually it's always when the live drafts go on out at first pitch, yep, in first week of November, or when I start seeing everybody post their draft boards. Yep. That's like the two things that like usually makes me cave. For this year, I held out strong. I'm probably going to jump into my first one soon, yep, here, but I think I did good this year.
Good. Yeah, no, besides the meatball, we did one live gladiator for Bubba and the Bloom, and then I've been one DC, and I told myself like last year, which helps me out a ton, is one draft at a time, one slow draft at a time.
Yes.
Like, and that way I'm not mold. So I'm in like the back end, so pretty soon I'll start a new one, but it keeps me going very slow, which is very, very helpful because they're fun. Like you said, you get the itch, but a little too much.
Yep.
All right, before we get going, though, I mentioned where all the lovely places they can find you, but remind everybody what you got going on, if you have anything coming up, or how they can support you and whatnot.
Yeah, it's Dynasty World never stops, so still pumping out a bunch of content over on my Patreon, some stuff over at Rotoballer, a little bit of a hiatus at FTN, but draft guides coming out on FTN. I believe it's the 17th or 18th. Check Vlad Sedler's Twitter profile for that. He has the date on there, but I think it's one of those 2 days. So content will be ramping back up there, and we're starting our Dynasty and Prospect ranking series over on the Toolshed. So that'll be, a fun little project over the next couple of months. And yeah, just keeping busy, as you know.
yes, indeed. And you guys are you're darn good at it. So it's fun to see that continue to run. Let's get into it. Let's just stop messing around here. We'll talk prospects for those that are new to this. We've done this for a couple of years with the guys, and we go over each team, and Eric's going to give us the players he thinks are relevant for draft champions or potentially fab leagues this year. So relevant to 2025 season. We'll talk a couple dynasty guys later, but if you want all the dynasty stuff, go to the Toolshed podcast, go to their Patreon. You get all the goodies there. This is strictly for like late round. These are guys that might have an impact sometime this year. So Eric, let's just get to it. Let's start with your best, arch enemies, the New York Yankees, who the AL East champions this past year. Don't have to say World Series, so that's good, right? I get to deal with that, not you. But what do you think for prospect wise for the Yankees? Is it just the Caleb Durbin story, or do we have other things to look at?
Yeah, so with the Yankees, I got three names here. There's a few others that might make their way up, but none that really will make too much of an impact. But obviously, Jason Dominguez, obviously he debuted already and didn't make much of an impact this past year. But you'd think Verdugo is gone, you think they're going to hand over the reins and have a starting spot to Jason. So he's obviously the big name there. Then the other two are Spencer Jones and the aforementioned Caleb Durbin. Durbin is a little spark plug. I don't know what role he's going to fill. I want to say it's probably going to be more like a super utility, like this backup, a bunch of infield spots type of thing, and find his way into the lineup 3-4 times a week. But, if you're just looking for some late speed, you can get him. I haven't looked at the ADP lately, but I'm sure it's past 500. He's probably in that 500-600 range, if I had to guess. I mean, he just set the AFL stolen base record, which, take that with a grain of salt. Catching, quality out there is not the greatest. And players usually run wild out there, like Zach Veen ran wild a couple years ago out there too. So, but he is a good runner. He's got sneaky pop in the bat too. This is a guy that over full season could probably crank like 10 to 15 home runs, something like that. Hit just solid average. So, he's going to be a very popular target of mine in DC just because he's probably going to have some form of dual eligibility. What those positions are, not sure yet, but probably be like second and third, second and short, third and short, maybe three, who knows, and give you that speed. You know, we're always chasing that speed. So Caleb Durbin is, again, going to be a very popular target of mine. Spencer Jones, I mean, he's going to be up at some point. I don't know. I mean, he's the one I'm kind of more or less confident about making a big impact this year. Obviously, the upside with him is massive, but he's had some contact issues. He's had some issues with the strikeout rate that's been pretty high over the last couple of years. And just given the fact that it took a little bit of time for Jason to even break in, so, you know, what happens with Spencer Jones? So he's the one I'd keep, you know, keep on your radar, but, you know, kind of questioning how long it takes him to break into the lineup. But Durbin, I think, could, you know, sneak his way in there given his versatility. And then Jason, obviously, the biggest one that you'll be drafting, you know, top 150 of every draft. So, yeah, those are the three names I look at for the Yankees.
Yeah, Jason, we're hoping finally for that first big season where they actually let him go. That's what I'm with you there. And yep. Yeah, Caleb Durbin, it's 483 now. The low was 522. Someone's taking him as high as 273. So the buzz is ridiculous. I would not be close to 273.
No.
Yeah. I think 480 is fair. That's very doable. I'm with you because especially in DCs, as you know and others do, it's like a guy at a super utility is going to gain multi-positions. There's going to be a stretch at some point where he plays like 5 days a week because of injuries.
Yep.
And he's going to run wild. And that's going to be glorious to have. So I'm with you on that. Especially with John Birdie leaving the team. That's going to open up some play for sure. All right. Now we get to go to your boys, the Boston Red Sox. And I'm just going to say it. And again, just for people that are listening, pre-recorded show. So things might happen here. But I don't want it to happen. And I know you don't want to. But the Tristan Casas news is not cool. Like the rumors, I say rumors, not news. So we're going to pretend he's still on the team at the point of this returning. Let's hope he is. What prospects are we looking at, though, in Boston? Because they might have a whole bunch of new ones, is what I'm saying. But for now, what do we got in Boston?
Man, yeah, the Red Sox, they could look completely different in the next week, next month, you know, especially by opening day. So, yeah, we shall see what happens. There's so many rumors right now. It's hard to keep everything straight. But, you know, obviously we can only go with what we have right now. And we got the big four who are all very talented and major league ready or very close to it. The two out of the four being Roman Anthony, outfielder, Christian Campbell, middle infielder and outfielder, Marcelo Meyer, shortstop, Kyle Teal, catcher. I think the two that I'm really focusing on, I mean, obviously Roman Anthony is one of them. Yeah, he's I think his ADP. I'm looking at just DCs here. Where is it? Around like 270 right now on NFBC. So he's a guy you'll have to, you know, get into the 300 range and probably that'll only go up. I assume it'll be more like probably 220, 230 time February, March rolls around. But you know, he is the number one prospect in baseball for a lot of people. And if he's not number one, he's number two or three. And in people's rankings, you know, the power, speed, blend, can hit for average, draws walks. Really just like the all-around offensive stud. That should be up. It's, you know, early. Again, it's hard to say with any concrete, yeah. You know, like I can't say, like, all right, yeah, he'll be up opening day or early. I don't know who's going to be in the team. I assume Anthony will not get traded. He's probably the real untouchable one for the Red Sox. But it's just so hard to, you know, who do they bring in? How many open spots are there? So there's so many variables that are yet to be answered. So I can't say with any certainty when he's up. But when he is up, which should be early regardless of what happens, you know, he's going to be a stud. And Christian Campbell is the other one that I'm very high on. He's a top five overall prospect for me as well. I mean, this guy had a, you know, historic rise in 2024. You know, he went 20 home runs, 24 steals, hit 330, 439 OBP, you know, walks at a high clip, keeps the K rate in check. You know, he played pretty evenly second base, shortstop, and outfield. So you can see him really wind up at any of those spots. My guess would be second base. But we'll see. But yeah, love the power speed blend there. And another guy that he's ready. It's just a matter of what spots are open. And is he still on the team then? Is he traded in a trade for Crochet or something else that we're not even talking about yet? Who knows? But Christian Campbell is an all-around, you know, potential fantasy star. So he'd be the other one, you know, the big name here. And then real quick on Meyer and Teal. I think they're a little further away. Yeah, I think Teal is a takeover for Colton Wong at some point this season. So I can see him getting, you know, like 300 or so at bats. And I think once he is up, he'd be, you know, in that two catcher format, in that C2 discussion. And I don't think he's a, immediately top into, C1 discussion, but he's a guy that I'll probably target a lot in DC. He's my third or fourth catcher, just because I think he's going to be, a solid contributor, maybe even throwing a few steals. He runs a little bit too. So a guy that I think could be like a top 20 to 25 catcher once he is up, probably, May, June would be my guess, or even earlier if they do trade Colton Wong. He's starting to get included in some of these rumors. So
that was interesting too. Yeah.
We'll see. And then Myers, the fourth one, I think, he had, he was limited to 70 something games last year and didn't play at all in AAA. He had the injury to kind of cut his season short. So I think he's the one that gets the most time in AAA this year. So he's probably more of a mid season call up if he's still here. Maybe that gets pushed up if he's traded to the White Sox, for instance, in a crochet deal. But, little kind of lukewarm on him. He's a good player. I think one of those better in real life than fantasy guys, but he could still give you some contributions once he's up. So those are really the four to look at here for the Red Sox. And maybe just another name just to keep in the back of your mind, like a Chase Meidroth. He's a guy that, plays multiple infield positions, gets on base at a high clip, not really a big power speed guy, but he's a guy that you could probably plug into multiple spots, second half of the season if needed. So there's another name to keep an eye on there with Chase Meidroth.
Love it. Yeah, the first three you mentioned there with Anthony, Campbell, and Teal, all going in the top 490, which in DC terms, that's saying a lot for guys that, we hope are up early type thing, not guaranteed spots. But again, the Red Sox are a very popular discussion point these days on moving and shaking. So every morning I wake up on the West Coast wondering what they've done today. So it's, I can only imagine being a Red Sox fan and listening to their local radio. It's got to be some fun stuff. Let's talk about the Baltimore Orioles, a team that's a couple of years ago we did this show. It was like you listed off half their roster. We're going to be coming up, and they did because they're very, very productive. They still got youth. They traded some, but what are we looking for potentially for some prospects from Baltimore?
Yeah, we're looking at three here, but just given how things went in 2024, it's hard to say, when these guys break in. The three being Kobe Mayo, who already got a cup of coffee, Sammy Basayo, catcher / first base prospect, who got up to AAA, and then Heston Kjerstad, who had a couple different stints with Baltimore. As we saw how hard it was for even guys like Mayo this past year to break into the lineup, for Holiday to break into the lineup, because Baltimore doesn't really have a lot of, it's not like it's, I hate to pick on the Pirates, but it's not like a team like Pittsburgh that has a bunch of openings. Baltimore's got a pretty solid lineup. Obviously, with like Basayo, catcher, first baseman, they have some guy named Adley Rutschman at catcher already. First base, they have Ryan Mountcastle right now. Look at the lineup. It's pretty solid 1-9. So I might take an injury for these guys to break in. Kjerstad, though, might be the guy because he's right now maybe one of those nine, and the starting right fielder, hitting in the bottom third of that order along with, Jordan Westberg and Jackson Holliday. This is according to a roster resource on Fangraphs, but he's a guy that can give you solid power. He's like a 20, 25 homer type of bat, give you, maybe a 260, 270 average. It's a matter of giving him, consistent reps and letting him run with it. Just, every stint he had with Baltimore was, sporadic playing time, whether it was, one, two starts a week, or he'd get a few starts here, then get on the bench for a few days in a row. So he was never really able to kind of find his rhythm. So maybe that comes this year. So Kjerstad is probably the safest target out of these three. Mayo and Basayo have more upside. I just don't know when they break in. It's sort of a an injury to Westberg or to Mountcastle or heaven forbid to Adley. But when they are up, Mayo and Basayo, I have them both as top 10 prospects for a reason. Both very potent bats, can hit for average, hit for power. Mayo, more power. Basayo, probably a more higher average hitter than Mayo. So those are guys you're going to want once they're up. Again, it's hard to say given how things went with Baltimore this past year and the lineup they already have when they break in and get full-time reps.
Yeah, it might, like you said, with this lineup, because you got O'Hearn, you got Mountcastle. They're only there for one more year. That might be the opening the guys need. So, and even like Bolins is on a one year deal, and God forbid they bring Santander back. That could really shake things up. So, that could be the death knell for Kjerstad. But it'll be interesting to see where it plays out, because I'm with you. Like, we want to see these guys, but it's an embarrassment of riches for them. I'd rather see them get regular at bats in AAA at the same time. But I'm very curious about Basayo and seeing where that one comes to fruition. Tampa Bay Rays, always a team with a lot of young players, but playing time and platoons is always the issue. So what do you got for Tampa Bay this season?
Man, so this is the first team where there's not like an immediate guy. I mean, I think there's a few that are going to be up, you know, probably mid-season at some point, and I'll have, you know, so, you know, pretty high upside. You know, the three that I'm really focusing on, Carson Williams, Braden Taylor, and Xavier Isaac. You know, both have, all three of them, have played in the upper minors. You know, Isaac had a bit of a slump second half of the year, some strikeout issues. Those kind of carried over into the AFL. His K rate went up over 33% this past year, but at the same time, he had 18 home runs, 15 steals. Though he's moving to, you know, maybe moving to a corner outfield spot. Same with Trey Morgan, who's more of a high floor guy, but he's kind of been getting some reps in the outfield as well. So that'll be interesting to see, you know, come spring training. Is that continue for both these guys? Are they using Isaac and Trey Morgan in the outfield? And that could signal that they're trying to get their bats into the lineup sooner rather than later. That's kind of what I always look at. Like, hey, this guy is switching positions as he gets closer to the majors. You know, they're trying to, you know, fit him into the lineup some way. So that'd be something to keep an eye on with those two. Williams and Taylor, you know, both on the left side of the infield. Shortstop for Williams. He's a good defender, so I don't see them moving him off of shortstop. Taylor has played, you know, multiple infield positions, but they got Caminero right now at third. You know, shortstop's the spot where I think you can see one of those two take over for Jose Caballero, who, you know, was a solid player, don't get me wrong. He had, you know, I think he had 40-something steals this past year and had a few really hot weeks at the plate as well, but he's not the long-term option there. So I think it's going to be Williams or Taylor getting the call there. I'd probably lean more towards Williams, a good power speed threat, maybe not more than like a 250, 255 type of hitter, but you know, he's got the power and speed to give you 20 plus on an annual basis. And then the last name here, who's complete wild card, but Chandler Simpson, the guy is one of the fastest players in all of baseball, maybe the fastest. I'd love to see a foot race with him and Witt and Ellie and some other, like Victor Scott and Estre Ruiz, just to see who would win like a 100-meter dash out of these guys. But he stole 104 bags this year in the minor leagues. And obviously, we can't translate that to the major leagues. But you know, he's a guy that has always made high contact, great approach. I mean, K rate under 10%, kind of like a. Yeah, you know, I think he's more like Xavier Edwards-esque than, you know, the Estre Ruiz, you know, Victor Scott route, where he'll put the ball in play, probably hit for a solid average, not gonna provide really any power whatsoever. So you're really looking at him for this huge speed impact and, you know, the solid average that he potentially could give you. Like, I took him in the rookie draft we do every year out at FPAS, you know, we built it, so it's like a gladiator with just rookies for 2025. I took him as my second baseman. I think it was where I used him, just hoping that he'd come up midseason and give me like 20 steals. That's kind of what you're looking at here. But if you wanted to set a super cheap speed guy, you know, Chandler Simpson's your guy late in drafts. And I'm trying to find where his ADP is. I don't even see him.
He might not even be drafted. I've been going over this on some recent shows and there you go. Yeah.
He's right around 550 right now. So, if he can give you 20 steals from that spot, which I think is absolutely realistic, even if he's like in a, you know, backup pinch run role, I think he'll take that for sure.
Yeah, that's really interesting. That's kind of like the Darian Blanco path in a DC, but better is the way I'll say it. Better, but that kind of same idea with is the only reason why you're drafting Blanco in theory. All right, and I'm really looking forward to seeing Carson Williams hopefully sooner than later, like you're saying. I think that there's reasons not to play someone else with shortstop over him. Let's put it that way.
He's a good guy, too. I had a chance to interview him last year. Like, this is a kid that – I say kid, he's like 21, 22, but everyone's a kid to me.
That's a kid.
yeah, for us, it's a kid. But you know, like, you can tell, like, this kid, he has his head on straight. Like, he's a hard worker. Everything you hear about him, all those, you know, the off-the-field intangibles, like, he's a hard worker, just a good clubhouse guy. So he's a guy you really want to root for sure.
Beautiful. All righty, let's wrap up the AL East here with the Toronto Blue Jays. There's a shortstop or a middle infielder that we wanted to see last year. Then he got busted, so we'll probably get him this year. And maybe some pitchers not named Tiedemann, because that sucks yet again.
I know. I mean, I love Ricky Tiedemann. I mean, he's a guy that, you know, the AA affiliate for Toronto is in New Hampshire, roughly a two-hour drive from my house. And I would just, anytime I could, when he lined up on the weekends especially, yep, let me make that two-hour drive, go see Tiedemann pitch four or five innings. He was one of the more fun pitchers I've seen live in terms of pitching prospects. So that's really a bummer. Who knows what you got of him and when, but for now, he's kind of off the radar, unfortunately. But looking at, you know, there's a few guys here. Obviously, the one you were alluding to, the middle infielder, Aroldis Martinez, made his debut, then went on the suspension list, or whatever they call it, restricted list, for suspension for, you know, half the season, came back later in the year. You know, he's a guy where, you know, he's kind of one of those middle infielders that doesn't provide really any speed. It's a kind of you know, unicorn there, where he's not giving you speed, but can give you plenty of power. I mean, this guy, you know, I've seen him live a ton. The raw power is definitely there to be like a 25-30 homer bat, you know, down the road. The average has fluctuated. I don't know. I mean, he's yet to really hit for average and power at the same time for a prolonged period. Started doing that more this past year. I'll give him that. I mean, he hit 267 with 17 home runs and 319 plate appearances in the minors. So started putting it together at the same time. So he's the one that you really look at, especially if they, you know, they trade a bow. I mean, he's not going to play shortstop. He's probably more of a second baseman or a third baseman. But right now, those spots are occupied by Will Wagner, who is solid. I'll give Will Wagner a pretty solid target in D.C. He hits for a good average and can play multiple positions. So he's another solid target in D.C.'s from this Toronto team. And then they get Ernie Clement playing third, who, you know, in his credit, had actually a pretty decent year this past year. But he's not going to hold back. And, you know, a guy like Martinez when Toronto deems him ready. So, yeah, Martinez is the guy there. You know, in terms of outside of that, you know, Jonathan Classe, who I believe is still prospect eligible, could give you some speed, maybe the occasional home run. Not kind of sure where he fits into the picture there. They got Springer, they got Varsho, and they got, you know, platoon. He might platoon in left field, you know, with Nathan Lukes or whoever. Davis Schneider probably factors into that mix a little bit as well. But Classe is fun. The average is probably going to be a little bit on the lower end, but a premium athlete, so he'll give you some speed as well. In terms of pitchers, you know, you might see a Trey Yesavage later in the year. It'd be super late. I mean, he's very advanced. Collegiate guard, they just drafted this past July, but I don't think he'd be up before August. So if you want to throw like a late round dart throw at him, sure, I wouldn't be opposed to it, but he's probably more 2026. But yeah, unfortunately, probably not seeing much of Tiedemann this year.
Yeah, and plus it feels like just as a general for Toronto, they're going to be making some more trades to get some depth in their farm system here pretty soon is what it feels like for them.
For sure.
All right, let's go to the AL Central, the team that continues to find their way near the top, not always because there's some good contenders up there now, weirdly enough, the Cleveland Guardians. And it's a team that, you know, every year, you know, the big Christmas came up this past year. That was fun. What kind of players do we potentially see out of Cleveland? Because it feels like, again, I'm not a prospect guy, but I'm not hearing as much buzz as I used to out of this franchise.
Yeah, you know, a lot of their prospects aren't the buzzy type, but, you know, Cleveland knows what they like. You know, they like, you know, they usually draft a lot of the high school guys that they can get into their system and really kind of develop them the way they want. So, and it's worked out. I mean, obviously, the Cleveland, like you mentioned, they've been pretty successful. Yeah, they don't have any World Series to show for it, you know, lately, but they've been really in contention and making playoff runs every year. Not a lot of years where they're, you know, a 90 plus loss team, and that's because they developed very well. And they have a few that are, you know, probably going to be playing with them, you know, a good chunk of the year. The biggest name is Chase DeLauder, who I wish would be a guy we're not even talking about right now, because I mean, he would have graduated this past year, but, you know, unfortunately, more foot issues limited him once again. You know, I've said it before, I'll say it again. You know, when healthy, which again is a big F right now, DeLauder is a top 10 fantasy prospect. I mean, he makes contact at a good clip. He's gets on base, and the walk rate's good. The K rate, he keeps that in check. There's plus power. There's plus speed. Everything, you know, wrap it all together. You're looking at like a Christian Yelich type of player, and we just haven't been able to see that for more than, you know, a week or two at a time because he keeps landing on the IL. You know, in the second straight year, we've seen him out in the Arizona Fall League get some more reps in. So hopefully, you know, fingers crossed, he's the big name, you know, in terms of prospects for this Cleveland team in 2025. You know, and I can see him really fitting into that a corner outfield spot fairly soon. I mean, they get Will Brennan, and you know, probably, and Noel probably fits into a corner outfield platoon as well for right now. Obviously, they got Kwan in left and Lane Thomas in center, so those two spots are pretty locked down. But I could easily see Chase DeLuther taking that right field spot pretty early in the season. You know, maybe even opening day if he has a hot spring and can actually stay healthy. Travis Bazzano is the other big name in the system, who's a very advanced collegiate bat. You know, you could see him midsummer. You really could. If he gets off to a hot start, probably starts the year in Double A, and he's gonna be a quick mover. I mean, he already has moved quickly. So he's a guy I could see at midseason. So, you know, late round, you know, last like 5-10 round dart throw, I could definitely see that. If you want some upside, I mean, he's not quite as buzzy as the Louder, but phenomenal pure hitter. He's a guy where he might not be as exciting as like a Cheerio or someone like that, but given how advanced he is, I think there's a higher chance of him contributing and not falling flat on his face than other guys that might be, you know, buzzier and have the more upside. So Bazzano is definitely one to look out for. And then a couple other names here, you know, someone like a Jonathan Rodriguez, who already has had a couple different cups of coffee with Cleveland. You know, you want him for his power, probably more of a 250 type of hitter, but over a full year, you know, as a regular, this guy could, you know, be a 25 plus homer bat. Maybe you see Angel Janao, a middle infielder, at some point if there's some injuries. And then maybe, you know, someone like a Matt Wilkinson, a.k.a. Tugboat, my new favorite nickname in the minor leagues.
Outstanding.
The guy is.
You look, I like can just picture. Yeah, I can picture him in my head right now.
He should be playing, like, you know, nose tackle in the NFL, lining up against the other team's center, or playing, like, right tackle or something like that.
Awesome.
But the guy was winning, you know, huge breakout year. I think he led the minor league. He either led the minor league in strikeouts or was second in strikeouts with Quinn Matthews from St. Louis. I forget who had more, but he was right up there in strikeouts. So he's a guy you could see second half as well. So, yeah, the latter is a big name, but there's a few other fun ones there for Cleveland as well.
And Bazzano is an interesting one, you know, first overall pick in 2024 for people that didn't know that. But ADP is 704, so it is one of your last picks. Those are fun dart throws to make. Those are, because like DeLuther, 378 ADP, deservedly so, fits in the mold of some other guys. But to get a 704 with Travis is that makes for a very, very intriguing dart throw.
Yeah.
All right, Detroit Tigers is a team that keeps bringing up prospects recently, and they've most of them have produced or are showing signs of it. Then again, you have your Torkelsons, or you're wondering what's going on in the world right now. But when we're looking at Detroit this year, it's Jackson Jobe's season. I already know that one's on the list, but I'll let you elaborate farther. But what else do you got in Detroit?
Yeah, it looks like, what's Jobe's ADP? 230, 240. That's kind of where I thought it would start out. I bet you that creeps up closer to that 200 rate, especially if he looks good in spring training, you know, those later, you know, March drafts. Yeah, I can see him easily going, you know, 175, 200 range. And he is one of the, you know, top tier pitching prospects in baseball right now. You know, some people even have number one. I had him number one until, you know, Painter's showing that he's healthy again. But Jobe is one of the few pitching prospects that I, you know, say has true, like, frontline ace upside. I don't like throwing that term around often, but it definitely fits for a guy like Jobe. You know, the command kind of got a little wonky this year, but he was dealing with some issues. But you look at the previous year, he had like six walks in 65 innings or something like that. He's a guy that can miss bats at a high clip. He can usually, you know, pinpoint, you know, accuracy. You know, he can locate his stuff. You know, he's, again, frontline stuff. Slider is phenomenal. He can hit triple digits with a fastball. And that Detroit rotation, and obviously, yeah, Skubal was the Cy Young winner, deservedly so. But after him, you know, Reese Olson had some issues, but he's locked in. And then you got Mize, you know, Casey Mize, Keiter Montero. I mean, outside of really Skubal and Olson, You have three pretty solid openings in that rotation. Mize probably gets one of them, but I think Jobe's in that rotation out of spring training. I think it would be very shocking if he wasn't. You know, in terms of what do you see for innings, I'd say, you know, probably 120, 130. I don't think they'll push him, you know, after kind of some of the time he missed this year, but I can see that 120, 130 range and, you know, pretty good innings at that. I could easily see him being a top 40 to 50 value at the starting pitcher position at the end of this year. So, yeah, Jobe's the one where if the ADP is in that 225, 230 range where it is now, I love it. 175, you know, to 200 range where I think it will end up. Don't love it quite as much, but don't hate it either. I have to see kind of like what my team construct is at that time, because yeah, if you won't look for, you know, the biggest pitcher this year, and it might be Jackson Jobe or Andrew Painter, obviously, being the other one, you know, that Clegg talked about over on your National League show. Mm-hmm. Outside of Jobe, you know, a lot of their top guys are in the lower levels that you'll see, you know, probably more so in 2026. But, you know, Jace Jung and Trey Sweeney are two other ones I wanted to highlight here. Neither one are buzzy. You know, they don't have the sexy, flashy profile. But, you know, Jace Jung, who was a younger brother of Josh from Texas, you know, similar mold, you know, good power, contact skills kind of gone up and down, but he's a guy that could, you know, provide some solid kind of low end value if he's starting this year. And Trey Sweeney, I think, is the one that is kind of getting forgotten about right now, because his ADP, I thought it was
like 450 ish, give or take.
Yeah, I thought it'd be, you know, near 300 to 350, because I mean, yeah, he didn't care to cover off the ball with Detroit once he came up last year. I think he hit, yeah, 218. But this is a guy that's got above average power and speed, and even if he hits 250 or so, which I think is a, you know, likely outcome, I think he's in that range. You know, he could, you know, push 15 plus home runs, 15 plus steals, and if you get like, you know, like a 16 homer, 17 steal season out of him and pick 450, I think you take that. And it looks like he's going to be starting. And, you know, roster resource shows him in a platoon with Javier Baez. Yeah, okay. I don't believe that for a second. You know, we know what Baez is at this point. Everyone knows. So yep. I think they give Sweeney probably, you know, 500 to 550 plate appearances this year, and I think he could be a really solid value from where he's being taken. And then Young as well. It looks like he'll be the starter at the hot corner, and his ADP is kind of right, just a couple rounds behind Sweeney, about pick 480, so about two rounds behind. You know, I think that's fair value as well. I'd probably lean Sweeney if I had to pick one of the two in that range, but I think both of those are fair values.
Well, I love hearing that, because I'm with you on Sweeney, especially. I'm not off like Josh Young or Jace Young by any means, but Sweeney, I got him as my third shortstop in my DCMN. I got him at pick 478. Love so that. I was really pumped on that, because as people do more drafts, we've talked about it already, is shortstop's very good, but it's very top heavy. Like, you start to like lose it toward as the draft goes on. So then at DC, it gets even more convoluted on the back end there. So I was really happy, because I'm with you. There's no chance, as long as Trey Sweeney's like half productive, that Javi Baez is going to be in the way of that situation. That's just silly talk. All right, let's go to one of the fun stories of 2024 with the runner-up of the MVP. If it wasn't for a, you know, Herculean season from Aaron Judge, it would have been Bobby Witt pretty easily. But the Kansas City Royals, this has been a fun team. We've seen Witt and Vinny P and a couple others make some splashes in recent years. What do we have to look forward to in 2025? Because I don't know if Jack's close, but I know he's close. I don't know if it's this year close type thing.
Yeah, no, unfortunately with the Royals, there's not a lot here to really discuss. I mean, Jack, you might see Jack. I don't think it'd be more than late season. You know, I think his ADP I saw was like, you know, 680 or something like that. I mean, I'd rather take, you know, him and Bizzano in that same range. Absolutely rather go Travis Bizzano. I think there's a better chance he's up earlier too, probably by a month or two. Jack, he's fine. Obviously, he has light tower power, but there's some issues with making contact, keeping the, you know, K rate in check. So I think he's not going to be as quick of a, you know, a riser through the system as like a Nick Kurzweil, another first base prospect from the 2024 draft. So, you know, maybe if you want a late run dart throw, which is kind of where he's being drafted in those formats, sure. But I'd probably rather go elsewhere. Yeah, I think, like you mentioned, he's more of a 2026 guy. You know, a couple of the names we might see this year, you know, maybe we see like a Carter Jensen, a catcher prospect. And maybe we see, you know, pitchers like Mason Barnett or, you know, someone like a Noah Cameron, who I think is the most intriguing one probably for this year, but he's more of a late round dart throw as well. I got to be honest, I don't think I'll have any Royals prospects on any of my teams this year. I just, the ones that might be up aren't really that intriguing, and they're better prospects like Jack, like Blake Mitchell, you know, or more, you know, 2026 or beyond. So, yeah, not really a whole lot here with Kansas City, but real quick, Bubba, you see who was, you saw who was in that going over to Kansas City now, right? You saw who's on their team now?
Mr. Joey!
Yeah, there you go. Our boy from...
Yes.
Man, what year would that have been? Like 21?
I were just thinking that. It had to be 21 because it was the year like the COVID, the first year after COVID. So that was my very first year being there. So I had to be 21.
That was still one of my favorite just baseball games in general. I've obviously been to so many games in my life, both majors and minors. It was just that fun game, all of us just like cheering Joey, just having a good time. I remember when we interviewed him, we asked him, like, did you hear us? He's like, oh, yeah. He loved it. So I still remember when he got hit by that pitch and you stood up like a mad father at Little League. Like, how dare you hit my son? I still remember that to this day. Just you standing up like being like fake mad. It was hilarious. That was a good time.
That's one of the many, like, I love that story. Like, Ryan and I were actually recording the show earlier today talking about the same thing. It came up in conversation. We were just laughing because that's the beauty of FPAS. It's like a small crowds. We get to just hang out. Like, you guys can still do your scouting, but we're all hanging out together and just having a good time. And yeah, it's a blast. It's good. So yes, Joey, hoping for the best, but so far things have not been great on that front. So yeah. Hoping for the best. All right, let's go to the Minnesota Twins, a team that's got some turnover coming these days in certain parts of the roster. So maybe there's an opening, maybe not. What do you see in Minnesota?
Yeah, Minnesota system is pretty interesting. They have a lot of fun talent throughout and kind of spread out throughout the organization. You know, the one we're looking at on the hitting side, or really two, you can look at that are bigger names are Emmanuel Rodriguez, outfielder, and Luke Kuechel, a middle infielder, more so second baseman. And Kuechel is probably the one that's closer. Rodriguez, you know, I think he'll be up, but probably more second half. Kuechel could be up pretty soon. He missed a little time end of the season, but this guy hit 303 this past year, 15 home runs, 23 steals, you know, high walk rate, K rates above, you know, better than league average as well. Not the flashiest profile, you know, probably won't be more than like a 15 to 18 homer guy, but can just give you a bit of everything without hurting you in any one area. Probably guys to give you, you know, above average, you know, average and OBP. As well, as I mentioned, he's always been a pretty good contact hitter, good approach. You know, he's given you, you know, 15 plus home runs and steals. So I think he's a guy that could be a real sneaky target this year. And I don't think his ADP is that high at all. Let me see here. Whoops. I'm spelling his name right. Yeah, he's not even being drafted at all.
Yeah, I did surprise. Yeah, that means free.
So there you go. So I think he's a great option there. You know, Zebby Matthews, another one, obviously there's, you know, some of the arm issues there, so kind of hard to know how that turns out. But, you know, as assuming, you know, he's healthy and we get Zebby Matthews here in 2025 and he doesn't need, like, you know, Tommy John or that new internal brace procedure, whatever they call it nowadays, he's a guy that could factor into this rotation again. You know, I know they got a pretty solid rotation as it is, but, you know, with Lopez, Ryan, Ober, Woods Richardson and Chris Paddock, but I wouldn't be kind of turned away by Zebby given what he did, you know, in his rookie season, or his kind of first stint, I should say. It wasn't like a full season, but, and he's still, you know, a very good high floor guy that can miss bats too. I mean, he had a pretty solid K rate, 24.3%, 6.2% walk rate. So that's still an 18.1 K minus walk rate, which is pretty damn good for a rookie. Yeah, the ERA was pushing 7. Yeah, the whip was like 1.65, but don't be turned away. He's still a very good pitcher. Just a matter of where does he fit in that depth chart, because they, you know, he had a pretty full rotation. So, yeah, so Zebby Matthews, Emmanuel Rodriguez, you're looking at Luke Kuechel, and maybe as a late-round dart throw, someone like a, you know, Peyton, I still don't know how to say his last name, is I think it's Ellis. It's E-E-L-E-S. That double E always throws me off. I should probably know how to say that by now, but he's another guy that you can probably get in the last round or two as a dart throw for if you need another, you know, middle infielder.
I love it. Love it. Good stuff there. I'm looking forward. They need middle infield help, so Kiesel is very very much moving up my last round radar. In a big, would you rather go Bassana or Kiesel?
Ooh. Oh, man, that's tough. I mean, both
one's undrafted, one's at the very end, so they're both right there.
I actually think I might lean Kiesel. I think he plays more. I think he might get better per game. Yeah, you know, I guess it kind of depends what you want. I think Pisano will provide more of, you know, a better per game value than Kiesel will. But I can see Kiesel up early, especially with all the injuries that Minnesota always had. Like Royce Lewis always is, you know, one swing or one, you know, trot around second base away from tearing an ACL or something like that. So yeah, I think you see Kiesel up a good amount this year.
Yep. Good to know. Let's go wrap up the AL Central and talk Chicago White Sox, where this could, like we said with Crochet situation, could be a whole other ballgame pretty soon.
Right. I mean, they've already, you know, made some trades over the last year or so and turned a pretty bad system into a decent one. It's not like a phenomenal system, but, you know, they're, you know, top three prospects, two of which are pitchers, Noah Schultz, Hagen Smith. Smith they just drafted this past year. Then Schultz a couple years ago. I think both you could see up this year. I don't see major impacts from either. Those guys are more like 2026 guys to kind of keep it on your radar. But maybe if you want a late round dart throw at the pitcher spot, I could see taking one of them. I think Smith will be up sooner than Schultz. They've kind of been slow playing Schultz with keeping the kid gloves on. Maybe those kid gloves come off in 2025. We'll see. But yeah, I don't see them really sort of pushing him a lot. He's their prize guy. So maybe you get Hagen Smith, though. You know, Drew Thorpe's injured. Jairo Iriarte, you know, came up in a relief role. I'm kind of uncertain whether they keep him in a relief role, which kind of was always a possible path for him. You know, good stuff, but, you know, command, control was always kind of inconsistent with him throughout the minor leagues, even dating back to his time in the San Diego system before he came over via trade. So I don't know how much of a factor he plays in, as if he's relieving, probably isn't in a, you know, closing situation. So unless he's starting, he's got a guy you can probably leave off your radar. But two other bats to, you know, keep an eye on here. Edgar Cairo, catcher, you know, one of the better catching prospects in the game, hit 280 this past year, 16 home runs. He's a guy that can hit for average and hit for power. You used to run a lot, didn't run a lot this year, only had one steal, but maybe he's a catcher that adds, you know, a handful of steals annually as well. So if you want like a fourth catcher, you know, that's kind of probably where he'll be drafted. And if you want some upside there, Cairo is a solid target. And then their top bat is Colson Montgomery. And he had a pretty poor year in AAA. You know, didn't really hit for much average. The power wasn't there, but he was dealing with a little bit of a hand issue, and he looked a lot better out in the Arizona Fall League. You know, I've always been a little lower on him than most, but you know, I can see him be like a Corey Seager light. You know, a guy that's hitting like, you know, 270 with, you know, low 20s home runs, you know, per year, something like that. And I think he's a guy that you could honestly see maybe on opening day. Obviously, there's not a lot in his way. So if he has a hot spring, I can see them, you know, putting him at, you know, short or third. Currently occupied by Miguel Vargas and Brooks Baldwin.
So you think Brooks Baldwin's going to hold him back? My goodness.
No, I don't. I mean, you look at this lineup. It's outside of Luis Robert and Andrew Vaughn is like, okay, I guess. It's just, oh my God.
Zach Deloach at DH. What like, are we doing?
He's looking at their projected lineup, like 4-5-6. It's like Deloach, yeah. Lenin Sosa, and Miguel Vargas. So I still like Vargas a little bit, but he hasn't worked out so far. But yeah. Maybe this looks a whole lot different, like you said, in a couple of weeks if they trade Crochet and maybe Robert. They trade Robert too.
Yeah, and Robert. Like this could be a worse looking lineup, at least more potential in the future type thing.
Yeah, so Montgomery is not going to have any issue. When they think he's ready, whether it's opening day or, you know, May, June, I think he'd be up by, you know, June at the latest. So he's a guy that's basically ready. So I think they maybe want to see him, you know, hit well at AAA to start. You know, get a couple of hot weeks in there and then get called up, and you know, maybe in May or something like that. So yeah, he's definitely one to keep an eye on there. Now, let's see, where's his ADP? I bet you it's probably in the
It was like 500 range. That's 500,
505, 527. There you go. I think that's more than fair range for Montgomery. I mean, that's round, what, 35 or something like that. Yeah, that's fine. A guy can give you, you know, salt, probably give you a solid average, a little bit of pop. Yeah, I think that's a good range for him.
I'm going to ask you about one guy in Chicago, though. He might not be like a top prospect on the list, obviously, but once was, still 23. We just mentioned how bad this team is. What are we thinking on maybe Brian Ramos finally figuring it out? He's, again, so young, but are we kind of moving past that?
No, I think he's that's the guy you should still have on your radar. Obviously, he didn't do well in really any stint so far. You know, he hit 202 in 32 games, but he's a guy that has, you know, sneaky power. Could be like a 15 to 20 homer guy. And the average has not been great, but the contact skills aren't terrible. So I think he'd be more, you know, if he wasn't really, you know, a top org, like a Red Sox, Yankees, I don't think, you know, Dodgers, you know, obviously all the other big orgs, I don't think he'd be a guy that you're looking at that would get a lot of playing time. But with the White Sox, again, like, there's a good chance the left side of this infield could go from, what was it, Vargas and Bannon to Ramos and Montgomery pretty darn quick. So, yeah, late round dart throw on Ramos, I'd be more than fine with
617 ADP. That's what I was asking. Yeah. I've looked at him a few times as like a fourth third baseman. So,
yeah, that's what you need him for, and that's, you know, I think he could be solid value at that point.
Sweet. All right, let's head to the AL West, to the good old Houston Astros, who might bring Bregman back, might not. Who knows? We've seen a bunch of good young pitchers come through here, hitters over the years, but that's kind of there's probably stuff there, but it's not as lucrative as it once was in Houston. But what are we seeing with the Houston Astros, a team that doesn't need a lot of immediate help, but maybe has something in the tank?
Yeah, I mean, obviously Bregman is the real kind of, you know, X factor here. It kind of sounds like he's not coming back. You know, obviously, you know, things can change, but let's assume that he does leave town. That opens up that hot corner. I think the first crack would probably go to a guy like Shea Whitcomb, who I think is, you know, I won't say slept on, that's not the right term, but I think he just doesn't get as much love as he probably should. It's a very fantasy friendly profile. I get it. He's an older prospect. He's 26 now. He just turned 26 end of September. So now that's almost 40 in terms of prospect years. But, you know, he is a guy that has always shown a good power speed line in the minor leagues. He's got four straight years, you know, dating back to 2021 with at least 19 home runs and at least 20 steals. So basically almost you went 19, 20 in 2022. Every other year it's been 20 plus. This past year he went 25 home runs, 26 steals in 108 games. You know, increased the walk rate, dropped the K rate. That's very encouraging, because that was, you know, kind of the reason why he was lower on people's rankings. You know, this guy is 24, 25 and has a K rate issue. You know, that's a good way to keep your ranking pretty low. So made some strides there. You know, even if he regresses back a little bit, if he can just hit like 240, 250, something like that, this guy could be a pretty fun value. And obviously, we don't get a ton of speed from third base. You know, outside of maybe a couple guys, I can give you some, but this is a legit 15, 20 steal guy, you know, 20 plus home runs as well. And again, if he can just hit 250, you know, that could be a pretty fun all around profile for a pretty cheap cost. I can't imagine he's going much higher than what, 600 or so? He's
570 right now.
Yeah. Okay, 570. Yeah, so that's round, you know, we're talking, you're getting around 40 at that point. So, I love that.
For a potential starting third baseman, that's pretty good.
Yeah, for a potential starting third baseman in a good hitter's park. And you know, he's a righty as well, so you got to love that. At where do they change that name of that park to?
It's a business. It's not even a U.S. I have no idea. I saw it. I'm like, what are we doing here?
There's a D and a K in there. I don't know.
Yeah.
I'm going to stop before I hurt myself here. But whatever that park, it's always been Minute Maid Park to me. But
yes.
But obviously you got the short left field Crawford boxes there. So, you know, Whitcomb, a guy that's going to be probably starting. I mean, you could see some other guys factor into that spot, but I think he gets the first crack. This might come down to a spring training, you know, battle. But, you know, I think a guy like Zach DiCenzo will probably factor in. Pedro Leon, he's been, you know, in the upper minors for what feels like 10 years now. He's a fun power speed guy, but some questionable contact. So those guys could factor in as well. maybe a Jacob Melton in the outfield, but the one I'm really kind of focusing on here is Shea Whitcomb, and I think he's a pretty good value where he's going.
Yep, I like that a lot, especially starting a potential starter that late is pretty, pretty tasty indeed. Let's go to Seattle, a team that, man, if you like to hit, it's not the place to be these days. But we'll see how things go there. The pitching staff's pretty much on lock unless an injury takes place. So what are you seeing when you look at the Seattle Mariners? Because I guess, I don't know, I'll let you have the floor, but it seems like if you're a pitcher, you're a pitcher in waiting right now.
Yeah, I mean, unless they, you know, trade one to the Red Sox or whoever, you know, yeah, it's not going to be a lot of openings there. Though most of the pitchers are more 2026 guys anyway. But, man, like, this is going to be – when we do this episode again next year, that's going to be a really fun discussion because a lot of their top guys are more 2026 guys, like Cole Emerson, Lazaro Montez, Michael Arroyo, Johnny Firmello. All those could be 2026 guys. So that's going to be a really fun discussion 12 months from now. But, you know, the two names that I look at here are guys that have already debuted. I mean, they're not the sexiest of the bunch, but, you know, you get value in guys that have already been up there and might factor in to the picture. And that's Tyler Locklear, corner infielder, and Ryan Bliss, a middle infielder. I mean, both these guys could be starting opening day. It's kind of hard to say right now because you got to imagine Seattle's going to want to try to beef up that offense. Their pitching is phenomenal. Might be one of the two or three best staffs in all of baseball. But outside of, you know, their first, you know, the top three or four guys, that bottom half of the lineup is, you know, pretty rough. So you got to imagine, you know, whether it be via trade or free agency, they go and get somebody that's better than what they have. So that could definitely, you know, block Bliss and Locklear a little bit. But Bliss, you know, he's a guy that the average is, could be, it's a wide range, you know, could be a guy that hits 220. He's hit, you know, he's hit for high average some years in the minor leagues. Kind of hard to figure out where that's going to wind up, but he's a guy that has sneaky power, could be a 12-15 homer guy, good athlete. You know, so you're looking at that speed impact from him, dual eligible, you know, middle infielder as well. So he's a fun kind of late round target. And Locklear's a guy that's always kind of flew under the radar a little bit because he's a little older as well. I think he's 24, maybe even almost 25 now, but a guy that's consistently hit for a solid average, gets on base, you know, 20-25 homer type of bat. So never a guy that's, you know, going to be a starting first baseman for fantasy purposes, but maybe he turns into a, you know, corner infield. Like, I mean, if everything clicks, maybe it's like an Alec Bohm type of guy. I mean, that's a high likelihood outcome or, but that's kind of the guy you're looking at with him, not flashy, but a solid bat. And, you know, right now they get Luke Raley at first, who actually was, you know, pretty good this past year. Dylan Moore's at third. Locklear's kind of played both of those spots in the minor league. So I think you can see him factor in there, but both those guys are more just late round dart throws. But guys that are going to play, so
post 700 right now.
So. Guys that are going to play. I mean, what you're looking at, obviously, as you know, Bubba, looking for guys that could play. Both these guys could absolutely play and get you 300, 400 play appearances this year easily.
Yeah, and they both have their chances. Like you said, last season they've had their cup of coffees, so it's not like even if they're not full time guys, they're going to have another run in them this year. So post 700, they're your third, you're probably fourth at each position. That's not going to kill you. And if they click in any way, it's a big plus. So definite guys like a couple years ago, like a Ryan Noda would have where your Locklear talk is. And it worked that year, not so much after that, but definitely in the discussion there. All right, let's go to the Texas Rangers on this one. Another team that, I don't know if they have a whole lot to offer. Maybe they do. Maybe I'm missing it. But like Wyatt Langford just came up, and that was the big one. We're all excited about Evan Carter's around. Hopefully it gets fully healed. He's swinging a bat. That is a plus. What should we be looking for in Texas?
Yeah, who knows with Evan Carter. Those back issues always really worried me, and especially at such a young age. So very talented guy, so hopefully he gets back on track. But in terms of prospects, the big one here is Kumar Rocker. He's still prospect eligible. Came up, made three starts, 3.86 ERA, 14 Ks in 11 and two-thirds innings. Been a very interesting career path for Rocker, who was a standout at Vandy, you know, was drafted high, didn't sign, had some injuries, played indie ball, you know, then got drafted again. So very fun, you know, fun career arc for him. But the talent has always been there. It's just a matter of, you know, we didn't know how healthy he would be. You know, there were some command issues that he kind of worked through, but you know, big fastball. I mean, and he showed the upside in that brief stint in the major leagues this past year. You know, fastball, you know, 96, 97, 98 miles an hour. One of the best sliders you will see. That slider is absolutely filthy, and also mixed in a sinker as well. You know, I would love to see him develop like a changeup or just any other off-speed offering, because he's really just two different fastballs and a slider for the most part. But hey, that slider is, again, is really good. Like, this could be, you know, one of the best sliders in baseball, and really already is. So I think he's probably going to be in that rotation. You know, that's a very, you know, fun but shaky rotation. I mean, when you're leading it off with Jacob DeGrom, you know, obviously that's, you know, sets the tone right there. We all know what, you know, what DeGrom gives you every year, or doesn't give you, I should say. Then you get like John Gray, Tyler Molly, Cody Bradford. These are guys that have been, you know, impactful arms, but have also missed a lot of time. So I think Rocker's going to get one of those five spots, you know, barring something unforeseen coming out of camp. And I think he's going to give you a lot of strikeouts. Maybe the ERA and whip aren't the best right away. Maybe he's a mid-4 ERA guy with a 1.3 whip or something like that. But if he's giving you, you know, well over a K per inning, which I think he will, you know, I think you could live with, you know, the less than stellar ratios. And he's a guy that I wonder where his ADP is. I haven't seen where his ADP is.
I got it for you. He's 281.
Okay. I mean, that's for the upside. I mean, if he's giving you 140, 150 innings and giving you like, you know, 170, 180 strikeouts with ratios that don't kill you, I think you'll take that upside at that spot. I mean, Cody Bradford's going kind of near him as well, and another Texas arm. Much rather have him than Jack Leiter. He's going a couple hundred picks later. I really have no interest in Leiter, even in a DC format. I've always been kind of lower on Leiter. He's just so inconsistent for my liking. But outside of Rocker, you know, a lot of their top guys are more 2026. You know, maybe you see Emiliano Teodo, but that might be probably out of the bullpen. So maybe late round dart throw there could get you, you know, vulture a few saves later in the year. I could see that. And then maybe an Alejandro Ozuna or a Justin Foscue. You know, Foscue plays both spots on the right side of the infield. So I think, you know, injury comes up. Maybe he slots into one of the spots. He's, you know, he's older. He's almost 26 now, but been a pretty solid prospect for a while. Always like a borderline top 100, 150 prospect type of guy. And then Ozuna is a guy that, you know, I really was impressed by out in the AFL. Kind of like a Bo Bichette build. And looks like Bo Bichette from behind with the hair and everything, but he's a guy that can hit for average, you know, a little bit of pop, you know, steal bags, plays a good center field defense. So if they need an outfielder, I could see Ozuna factoring in as well.
Bringing it back to Rocker real quick, he threw like between all levels last year, threw about 47 innings, then projected for 139. Does that seem reasonable to you?
That's probably on the high end, you know, maybe 115, 120 would be more reasonable. But I mean, he's a guy that he has that workhorse frame. He's a very solid frame. So, you know, if he was more of a slight frame or a smaller guy, I would really not feel great about that. But it wouldn't shock me. I'd probably project a little bit less than that myself, but it wouldn't shock me either if he's in that 140 range.
All righty. Let's go to the Los Angeles Angels of Anaheim, the most active team in free agency so far this season, good or bad or ugly, they have been. So what are we thinking about when it comes to prospects now? Because they do have some that are getting close. I just don't know if this is the year.
Yeah, the Angel system as a whole is not very exciting. But as we know, they like to push their prospects, you know, pretty hard. You know, obviously, you know, Neto didn't have much time in the minor leagues. Neither did Nolan Shanuel. It's a couple guys to look at here. You know, Christian Moore, who they just drafted, and he got pushed to Double-A pretty quickly. Went on a nice little homer binge. I think he had like 6 home runs in his first 7 games or something like that. He's a second baseman, above average bat, you know, good power. I think he's going to be a really fun fantasy second baseman. So I could see him up second half of the year. I think he probably starts back at Double-A, probably up to Triple-A pretty soon. And then you see him up with the Angels, but he'll debut this year. Barring an injury, he debuts this year. It's just when. Is it early enough to be an impact for fantasy? I think it could. So he's one of those kind of like in that Bizana range, you know, last five, six, seven rounds, kind of upside flyer of sorts, and definitely a solid one at that. Caden Dana, pitching prospect who already debuted this past year. Not really sure, you know, if he gets a spot in the rotation. And obviously, they just brought on Yusei Kikuchi. They've already brought on Kyle Hendricks. Reed Detmers is still there. Anderson Soriano. Kind of an odd rotation there. Kind of a hodgepodge rotation.
Oh, yeah.
But, you know, and how do we, you know, do we trust all five of these guys, as mentioned, to A, stay healthy, and B, stay productive? I mean, I don't trust Reed Detmers as far as I can throw him. Kyle Hendricks is, you know, in the twilight of his career. You know, Kikuchi was great last year, but, you know, what do we get from him over a full year? So a lot of question marks on that rotation as well. So I think, you know, assuming nothing happens with an injury during spring training, those are probably the five guys, unless they sign somebody else. But you know, I think when the need arises for another arm, I think Dana is going to be, you know, one of the first, if not the first ones up. So he's definitely one to, you know, target in the later rounds. You know, maybe you see, you know, a couple of former Red Sox prospects here with Matthew Lugo, Nico Cavadas. You know, Cavadas absolutely mashed out in the AFL, big power guy, you know, good OBP, but probably lower average type of hitter. Lugo had a really good year, you know, but the numbers kind of are a little bit higher than what the skill set says. So don't go like gaga over that 287, 376, 587 slash line. But he could be a guy that, you know, gets up and provides sneaky value if he's called upon. So a couple other names just to keep in mind, probably not drafting those guys, but a few of the names to keep in mind.
All righty. Let's wrap things up here with the final team, the artist formerly known as the Oakland Athletics, a team that might see their stud shortstop actually stay healthy, amongst other things. So what are we thinking when it comes to the A's this year?
And first off, I guess to say that I hate that I have to abbreviate them as A-T-H.
I did. Okay. I know you used to do the black book also. So
yeah.
I did all my catchers and then started prepping relief pitchers. And I, like, at the very last one, I'm like, oh yeah, Mason Miller, that's ATH. I had to go back and do all my stuff all over again. And I'm like, I'm not a fan of this already.
No, I'm not. And especially like it moves the, you know, if you,
oh, I saw a roster resource.
Yes.
Yeah. Wow.
Yeah. That was right where I was going. Like, you know,
I just
AL,
noticed
like,
that.
The American League, it's like always been Baltimore and Boston, yep, being the first two. And now you got, yep, the Athletics in there, and I'm like, I don't like this.
No,
but
no, I didn't notice that till right now. That's funny.
And then in a few years, it'll change again. To,
yes,
I don't know what the abbreviation will be then. LVA, who knows? But they'll be in the, then they'll be in the middle again.
B A N for bankrupt. I don't know.
Something like that. But yeah, Oakland's actually got a few guys. You know, this team kind of got semi interesting in the middle, yes, of the year with Brent Rooker, and like Brent Rooker and Lawrence Butler were like just as good as Soto and Judge for like a 2 month stretch.
And yes,
like, what was that, like July, August, or June, July, something like that?
Something like that, yeah.
Yeah, they were just absolutely killing it. And so that, you know, obviously Mason Miller being what he did, that kind of became a kind of a fun team a little bit. But they're probably going to add a few more guys into the mix as well. I mean, one's already debuted, Jacob Wilson. I mean, the best, I hate player comps because I think they're misleading, but the best way to describe Jacob Wilson is potential like a Luis Arias type. He's going to give you a high average. I mean, he had contact at like 96% clip last year or something absurd. In zone was like 98.5%. I mean, the guy puts the ball in play. He does not strike out. I think the K rate was like 6%. That's what you're looking at him from, high average. You know, they'll give you a good OBP as well. Not a big walk rate guy, but he'll have a high OBP just because he, you know, gets out on base all the time because he's getting hits. But a lot of those are singles. And then doubles, not a lot of, you know, home run power, not a lot of speed. So kind of like a rise. I'd be shocked if he's giving you, you know, even double digits in either of those. But he's safe. I mean, if you just want a guy to give you a good average, he's going to play. You know, I think Wilson's just like that safe floor pick. Outfielder Colby Thomas, the guy that led the entire minor leagues in extra base hits by, I think, like 8, 9, 10 ahead of second place. Like it wasn't close. He had a bunch of doubles, hit 31 home runs. I think he had like 45, 46 doubles, handful of triples as well. Had a 31 homer, 15 steal year. He's a guy that can kind of be a bit of a free swinger at times. Doesn't have the greatest contact rates. It's probably a little bit lower on the average spectrum, but not like 230, more like you know, 245 to 260, somewhere in that range. But if you're getting potentially, you know, he's a 25 homer bat, 15 plus steals, like that's the upside we're looking at here with Colby Thomas, and going from, you know, more of a pitcher friendly ballpark in Oakland to a hitter friendly environment in Sacramento over the next couple of years. I think that's going to be really, really fun for a guy like Colby Thomas. So I think he's a guy to get you 400 plus plate appearances this year. And his ADP is, where is his ADP?
It's probably not even drafted. No, in Oakland. Let me check.
I mean, I mean, there's a, I'm not even seeing him on here.
Cody Thomas, 713.
Wow. That's, wow. Yeah. Go get Thomas. I mean,
I'm going to put him in my queue right now.
I mean, that's not Simon's real first name, but it's Colby Thomas. But
that's what I thought. I was looking him up on Fangraphs. It's Colby. I'm like, interesting. Yeah, it's under Cody on FBC. So
that's why I couldn't find him. I was doing a control F with COL. I couldn't find him. But yeah, but if that's who they, that's who they mean, yeah, that, you know, that's a steal. He should be drafted 300 spots higher than that. Like, he should be a top 500 ADP guy. I mean, this guy is going to be up. He's going to give you a power speed blend. I mean, he might be the one of the best values among prospects in the American League in general. So, yeah, definitely go get some Colby Thomas this year. And then Nick Kurtz, you know, kind of alluded to earlier, you know, he is very, very advanced. One of the more, maybe the most advanced bat in the entire 2024 draft class. Looked really good out in the AFL. You know, solid contact skills, high power guy, high OBP guy. I mean, he's gonna fly through the system. I think he's at midseason. I think you're getting 300, 350 plate appearances this year at the major league level from Nick Kurtz. And he's a guy that I really like to, you know, target because he's a more advanced bat, a guy that, I mean, there's no sure thing with prospects. We've seen that. I mean, we saw Langford struggle. We saw Holiday struggle. You know, time and time again, we've seen top guys struggle. But as I think I might have mentioned earlier, the guys at Kurtz that are more advanced have a higher probability of not falling flat on their face. So, you know, not a speed guy at all, but, you know, first baseman, you know, he's going to give you a solid average, high OBP, plenty of power. So I think Nick Kurtz should be a really good target in the, you know, the last, you know, 10 rounds or so of your drafts. And another guy that I'm not even seeing on this ADP, are they just not showing these guys?
Who do you got? Kurtz is 656. Who else are you looking at?
Oh, Nick. Okay, so I'm not seeing Nick Kurtz in here at all. I'm not sure why I'm not seeing him, but
yeah, Kurtz is at 656.
Okay, I mean, I think that's great value.
He's under as well. He's under free agent, not athletics.
Oh, that might that might be why. Is that, yeah? I have a filter to the athletics.
Yeah, that's your problem.
Yeah, that might be why. So, but yeah, that's a phenomenal value there. Oh, there's Colby Thomas. Okay, he's under free agent as well. So Cody Thomas is someone completely different.
Okay, good. So there's a Colby Thomas. Maybe all the A's are under all the free agent.
I don't know what's going on here with this ADP. 440. There you go. Yeah, there you go. Okay, that's where I thought he would be. I was like, man, 700, and I'm going to get him every single draft. Even there, I think it's a good value because he's going to probably give you 400-plus plate appearances, maybe even 500-plus with that power speed one. So, yeah, love Thomas. He's a top 50 overall prospect. Kurtz midseason. Jacob Wilson, kind of the not flashy but safer, give you a good average type of guy.
Love it. Love it. Well, there you have it. 15 teams, American League prospects to keep an eye on / target in your draft champions draft, or just when Fab comes around, they're going to happen. So be ready for them. But before we head out of here, Eric, let's just do a quick, bullet point rapid fire type deal here. Of this list or of guys that we think make an impact in 2025, who are your top three AL prospects when it comes to impact? If you had to go into a draft and go, I'm coming away with at least one top prospect, who are your top three AL prospects?
I mean, it's probably going to be all from the American League East. I mean, obviously, again, two of these guys will be impacted by potential trades. But Roman Anthony, Christian Campbell from the Red Sox, I think, are giving you a ton of, you know, time in the majors. And they're two of the top five prospects in baseball. And then Jason Dominguez from the Yankees. I mean, Mayo, again, question marks with the playing time. Same with Basayo. Bazana's up a little bit later. DeLauder, you know, who knows with the injuries. So, yeah, I think you go keep it simple and go Roman Anthony, Jason Dominguez, and Christian Campbell.
All right, and then for the Dynasty folks out there, again, if you want all the rankings and all the good stuff, go check out the Toolshed podcast, Toolshed Patreon. But Who are 3 to 5 AL prospects to watch in Dynasty for 2026 and beyond?
So I'm going to go, you know, a couple different ways here. First one, a guy that I've been doing a positional prospect in Dynasty rankings over on my Patreon, and I just kind of got done with the middle infield spots, and a guy that I came away liking a lot more. I already liked him a good amount, but guy I liked a lot more after like really digging into him was Kevin McGonigal from the Detroit Tigers, middle infield prospect. He's played both second base and short. You know, not the biggest guy in the world, but you know, he's a high contact guy, sneaky power. I mean, he's a above average power for his age. He's still only 19. I think he's still 19. No, he just turned 20 not too long ago. But you know, for his kind of age and experience, above average power, you know, solid speed guy as well. Maybe not a guy that gives you a huge power or huge speed, but you know, potential good power speed blend there. Above average for both. We'll give you a high average and high OBP. I mean, this is a guy that had a 14% walk rate and an 8.5% K rate in 328 play appearances this year. So he's a really fun one to keep an eye on there. Another one of his teammates, you know, a guy that's kind of similar career arc right now, Max Clark. He's a guy that, you know, premium athlete. This guy's going to steal a ton of bags, but where does the power wind up? That's kind of like the X factor with him. Is he more of like a 15 homer guy, or is he going to, you know, fulfill that promise of being that 25 homer guy? That's kind of like the question mark there, but really love, you know, Max Clark, and you know, I had a chance to interview him as well. You know, he's a high motor guy. He's always doing baseball. He's got baseball on the mind all the time. So you know, definitely another name to keep an eye on there. And for the third here, I mean, maybe I'll go guy that I talked about for a minute earlier, but not too much. But Noah Schultz, again, a guy I think plays more in 2026 and beyond. He's another one that has, you know, that frontline ace upside. Get that, you know, lanky lefty Chris Sale look to him with kind of like the deceptive delivery. But he's a guy that can miss a ton of bats. You know, elite fastball, you know, big breaking ball. Changeups kind of coming along, but he's shown some flashes there as well. And he's got, if everything clicks with him, and again, another, you know, thing, he's a pretty solid command and control guy as well. Like these types of guys, you usually see some issues in that area. Not really with Noah Schultz. He's a guy that's shown, you know, pretty good command and control, you know, for his age and just in general. So he's definitely a guy that checks off a lot of the boxes that I look for in a potential frontline guy. And if he keeps, you know, trending as he is now, he's going to be a really fun pitching prospect. So I'll go, I guess they went all American League Central guys there with Max Clark, with Kevin McGonigal, and Noah Schultz.
Love it. Good stuff there. Max Clark, fun Twitter presence, by the way. I love showing his little hitting reps all the time. Like when a guy like myself, again, not a big prospect guy, picks up and goes, okay, that guy's fun, I'll follow him. Like that says you're doing things right, kid. You're going the right direction. So I appreciate that kind of fun stuff. Embrace it. Have fun with it. And as always, I always have fun talking to you, Eric. Before we head out of here on another fun show, can you remind everybody where they can find you? If for some reason they aren't following you yet, they should be if they're listening to this, but where to find you and what you got going on that they can help you out with, support you with.
Yeah, no, I appreciate you having me on. Always a pleasure and always fun catching up out in Arizona. On Twitter or X, wherever you want to call it, Eric Cross MLB. Same thing over on Blue Sky if you're over there. I know some people are kind of over on that platform now as well. So Eric Cross MLB on both platforms. Kind of what I mentioned, I'm going through my positional dynasty and prospect rankings right now. Got the entire infield done. I'm going over to the outfield and still got pitchers to go as well. And yeah, we're starting up the kind of a similar series with our positional dynasty and prospect rankings over on the Toolshed podcast starting in, you know, I think the same week as this show will air. So yeah, got a fun couple months coming up and it'll be spring training before we know it.
Yep, the grind never stops, especially in your prospect worlds. It never stops. So keep up the good work, as always. You don't need to hear that from me, but just keep it going. Enjoy chatting with you, and I'll probably message you again in about a month or so to see if you want to talk Red Sox, have some fun there. But until then, make sure you check out Eric on the Twitter and Blue Sky and all the other stuff, like you mentioned, at Eric Cross MLB. And for now, Bench with Bubba, episode 703. Catch y'all next time.